Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by PodUp.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. Podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D thrown in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
And of those that do get started and pass that 3 episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. No, sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like opposite of a square.
That's right.
So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
Podup.com, the ultimate podcasting platform. The subject of today's episode is a woman that embodies the mindset of, you take one from me, I'll take all from you. After the gruesome murder of her husband, deservingly so, some might say, she will go on the calculated and systematic destruction of an entire tribe of people, ending in a feathery and fiery death from above. Then she'll outsmart the leader of another empire and leave with a new religion, more wealth, and a new name. And she does this all while raising her young son and ruling over her own kingdom. We might as well change the name of this show to Revenge, an icon of takes no shit. Today we give you the wrath of Saint Olga. I'm Kevin Young.
And I'm the number one leader of the Taylor Swift fan club. You can catch me at Tay Tay Lover 2498.
Did you hear she's number eight? She's the eighth greatest guitar
player.
She's
the number one guitarist. Excuse you. Number one.
This is torture. Having a conversation with somebody like that would be fucking torture.
Yeah.
I'm Tay Tay's biggest fan. There's nothing you can say to make me think.
You get super nerds that are like that as well, though. Like, you know, it's. I got my action figures still in the original box.
Well, actually. Taylor
Swift's number one fan. Okay. Not to make fun of anybody with any form of speech impediment, but, you know, you must be Catholic if you have something like that. Love Tay-Tay.
Hey, Tay-Tay. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no. Are we all? Are any of us really?
Not a fan. Nothing against her personally, except for her environmental stuff. But yeah, I'm not a fan. Just the music, just not a fan.
His partner, herself and Dave Grohl, are kind of ribbing on each other a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's kind of in the wrong.
It's friendly fun. They know each other. Like, did you hear the story? Like, himself and her in fucking Paul McCartney's house and stuff like that. He was sitting there and she started playing fucking piano and he was like, the song sounds really good. He's like, holy shit, it's my fucking song. She was sitting singing, what to call it? Got another confession to make.
That young. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was singing that, and they end up singing it together or some shit. He was trying to play the guitar, but it's all fucking left-handed because it's Paul McCartney's. But anyway, no, they know each other and all that. I say they're just ripping the fucking piss because they're both in Europe at the same time.
I suppose.
It doesn't really matter because, you know, she's the greatest guitarist in the world. So.
Well, eighth.
Eighth. The great... Greatest is what I said. I didn't say eighth. It was the greatest.
Oh, buddy, how you been?
Good. Good.
Family doing all right?
It's all good except for the whole house purchase thing falling through.
Yeah, you told me about that. That sucks.
Ah, sure. Sucks. Look, onwards, upwards, as they say. If it's meant to be, it'll be, and whatever's for you won't pass you by.
Yeah, you'll find something better. Yeah,
eventually. Yeah, it was just a shame because that whole studio planned. I was on Pinterest and everything looking at fucking things and be like, hey, honey, what do you think about this for an aesthetic vibe? See, I don't like it. I don't care.
It's like Pinterest and Etsy buying koozies with xenomorphs on them.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Dan's like, fuck this episode. I'm going back on Etsy. we usually talk about that in the extended episodes, but for everybody who doesn't know, Dan was in getting ready to buy a new house, and it fell through. And,
yeah. Oh, well.
It sucks, but...
Yeah, that's why Amazon are trying to buy an old cottage in this country. Yeah. Come with surprises.
I want to buy an old cottage in a different country.
Yeah.
So that's not here.
I'm pretty sure if you bought one in, like, I don't know, Israel at the moment, it'd be in just as good a condition as some of the ones you got here. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, remind me to link you one that somebody's looking at.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Keep your voice.
Yeah.
She can hear you.
Yeah. I've got all that in my system now before I go any further with this because then I got louder.
Yeah. Now, my wife sees any house online. It doesn't matter if it's a $10,000 house and it's fucking run down, looks like it's about to fall apart, or like a, you know, $3 million mansion. If it has a dishwasher, she wants to buy it. You realize. We don't have a dishwasher. We have us. We wash with our hands because we just don't have the house is old, didn't come with a dishwasher. There's really nowhere to put a dishwasher in our kitchen without tearing up like half of our cab, taking up half of our cabinet space. She wants a dishwasher, something horrible. But listen, my wife is so anal about the dishes. She's so fucking OC. She goes, I'm OCD. Nah, you're just anal. She's so anal about the fucking dishes that even if we had a dishwasher and those things came out sparkling, she would still want to rewash them. So I'm not worried about getting her a dishwasher.
I think
she'll
our
never
wives
be happy.
Best friends, you know that?
She'll never be happy. There's a spot on this one. She just throws the whole thing back into the fucking sink, starts washing them.
We were talking about the whole thing about like, oh, like, everybody has those conversations like, oh, yeah, won the lottery type thing, whatever like that. And you're saying like, about why you wouldn't buy a massive house because it'd be a bitch to clean. And I was like, but you'd hire a cleaner. And she's like, no, because I'd clean the house before they came because I wouldn't want them coming into a messy house. Yeah. And she goes, and I'd clean it after they left because I wouldn't trust them to do a good enough job. So I understand that. Just so you know, sorry, apologies, you know, I seem to be spiking a little bit in my side in audio. For when I send you the file, it's like it's picking up something a bit more than usual. So I don't know, it might just be some interference.
Yeah, we need to get a wind sock for your, or not a wind sock, but a wind protector for your mic.
What if I just put a sock over it, would that help?
Maybe. Might.
Well, give me 1 second, I'll try it because I have a brand new packet of socks sitting right there that I haven't thrown to my room yet. Hold on, I'm going to try this shit out.
Who knows?
So make sure I get the new ones and not the old stinky ones.
It's like, why does it stink in here now?
Now it looks like it's a little mini member of the IRA because it looks like it has a little balaclava on. I'm not sure if that's making a difference or not because I still see the lines fairly thick with interference. But look, what I do is I put another sock over the other sock of the two. And what I can do is I can put my nose under it and it's... Kind of talk like this, and then maybe I don't know if that'll help. I don't think it's going to help. You have one of those vocal boots they put on their heads. Did you ever see those?
The what?
You get these things for singing. So it's like an acoustic treatment thing, like sound insulation. But it's
Yeah.
She get one of those, and everybody will see it. I'll just draw a face on the front of her, have a picture of me going. Like this.
You just put
camera.
The camera in there, so it's just looking. Oh, yeah. Right, so it's just right there.
I feel like those horrible 3D camera jokes people have.
Oh fuck!
Ah, dear Lord.
Oh, this feels like an extended part of the episode. This doesn't. That's usually what we talk before.
Cue the music.
They hit the music. Let's try it again. The subject, no.
Subject of today's episode is a QC treatment with Dan.
All right, anyway, Dan, have you ever heard of St. Olga of Kiev?
No.
No?
I did look up pictures of her, and I saw two very, 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 very different rendering of concept. One of them is a very horrific-looking old woman who looks like, if you were to imagine, a Romanian gypsy witch, and then the other one was quite an attractive woman.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Which one am I looking at?
Well, I mean, and that's how it is with people from back then. There were no cameras. Nobody was making paintings that look like these people. So, I mean, yeah. Same thing with Gilda Ray. We don't know what Gilda Ray looked like. You look at that one picture of him, like what you can get on our merch, the Gilda Ray on Hat Day. And that's probably not what he looked like at all. But that's the, you know, that's just what somebody painted. So that's what we go off of. It was like Jesus.
It's I don't like know what he looked like. We all know he looked like Chad Kroger back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. It's amazing. He was European in the Middle East. Oh. Well, let's all find out. Olga. Olga.
No, Jesus, he didn't.
Olga's something else. I've been wanting to tell this story for a while. And some people might go, oh, it's not very torture-y. Which, I mean, it's not super torture-y. But this isn't just about what tortures were done. It's history of human cruelty. And she is pretty fucking cruel to some of these people. Some of these people who do not deserve it necessarily. I keep hitting my fucking microphone.
Sound like a drum. Do you have a fucking bongo sitting there?
This is the most professional podcast you will ever listen to. We're talking about acoustic setups for our rooms. I'm banging my fucking microphone. Let me move this down. There, maybe I'll still hit it. I'm a hand talker. I don't have any Italian in me, but I'm a hand talker. I use my hands. Bada boopy.
Shut up.
Let's start. We'll go a little past the birth of Olga. I'm giving you a little bit of a history lesson here. All the way back to the 860 AD, or 860s AD, to the Varangian occupation of Eastern Europe. Now, the Varangians, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, were a Viking tribe that originally came from what is modern-day Sweden. Now, at first, they just went on trading expeditions. But after a little while, they decided, hey, this place isn't half bad. And while sailing down the Dnieper River, they began conquering the tribes in the area. And they began imposing what?
This place isn't half bad. Let's go fuck it up.
You know what would look really good over there? A brush fire. Let's go burn it down and take all their shit.
This place needs some pillaging. This is the precursor to America.
Oh, no, it's precursor to England going over. Look how beautiful these statues are. Let's take them.
Yeah.
Put them in a museum where you have to pay to look at them. Pretty fucking stupid. Now, they began imposing tributes on these tribes, which usually included pelts from local and exotic animals. I mean, you could pay in gems or gold or food if you're a farming village or whatever. But what we'll hear mostly about with the tributes for the Varangians is pelts from different animals. But I mean, you make your clothing out of it. Some of the nicer pelts were made for just the nobles and stuff like that. So, you know. But hey, whatever shakes your whistle. I don't give a shit. Now, eventually, they appointed the Varangian prince Rurik to rule over all the tribes and bring law and order to the area. Now, he settled in Novgorod and began ruling over the tribes now known as the Rus. Rus, translated from Old Norse, was a term for the men who row. So, Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, Rurik would die in possibly 879 AD. It's a good thing you're going to see about. Once you, the further back you go, the less we know about specific dates. It's like it could have happened between 850 AD and 1100 AD. It's somewhere in that span.
The coroners were not very accurate back in those times. Nowadays, he died between 1115 and 1215. In fact, 10 is like, ah!
They had the coroner from the Paul Bernardo case. He was half drunk. He was completely drunk. It was Christmas. He just felt like all the kids were on fucking methamphetamines. People are doing heroin or crack or whatever. He said they were. Oh, they were, what was it called? I don't fucking remember. It doesn't matter. That's not what it was.
Yeah, all that matters is fuck you, Paul Bernardo.
Now, normally the responsibility of rule would be passed down to his heir, but his son Igor was too young to rule at this point. So the realm and Igor were handed off to Rurik's kinsman, Oleg. Now, I couldn't find exactly how Oleg and Rurik were related. It says that they were possibly cousins. Who knows? But Oleg took control of the Rus state, the Rus empire that he was building, and he was now the guardian of Rurik's son, Igor. So Oleg started working almost immediately on expanding the empire, and in 882 AD, he seized Kiev and established the Kievan Rus state in what is now known as Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia, 400 years before Russia was even a thing. Now, the tribes of the area paid tribute to Rurik. He was their leader. They even fought with him against the Byzantine Empire. Not every tribe was 100% happy with the arrangement, and when Rurik died, some of the tribes decided that they didn't need to pay anymore, including a group known as the Dravilians. So in 883, Oleg decided to wage war on the Dravilians to bring them back into the fold, as they say. And after conquering them, he imposed a tribute of one black marten skin per household. A marten is a weasel-like mammal whose pelts were highly sought after. And a black one. The black ones were, I guess, exotic.
Not to be confused with the house martens.
Yeah.
He has to hand up one copy of their album every week. There you go.
Be like, it sucks.
He had really bad taste in music. So he did.
But he got all of them and he gave them out to all of his people and said, now you listen to it too. It's just downloaded right onto my iPod. No, that's a different. That's YouTube. That goes back to a conversation we had earlier. Oh, shit. Now, in the coming years, Oleg would continue to try and expand his empire, getting things ready for Igor to eventually take over. In doing so, he found a wife for Igor, a young Varangian girl from Pleskov, modern-day... It's Pleskov, which is modern-day Pskov in northern Russia, known only as Olga. Now, we don't really know anything about Olga's early life, including her birthday or even the year she was born. A few of the ones I have read it put it all the way back into the 880s. Some say that she was born closer to 825, or 925. So there's a... a good span of time where they're like, well. Yeah.
So she was either 20 or 60. Nobody can decide which.
Something like that. But if you believe historians that claim she was only 15 when the two were wed, and the Russian Primary Chronicle, the only real source of information from this time period, that claims the two met and married in 903, then we can figure that she was probably born in the late 880s, early 890s. Which, still, the dates are very convoluted and disputed by many. But if these dates are real, it would mean that the two were married for almost 40 years before they had a child. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. That's so it gets, because the Russian Primary Chronicle is something that was written. It's kind of the story of Russia, the story of the whole Russian, Belarus, Ukraine area, how it came to be, who ran it before, who created it. And it goes way back to the early 9th century, late 8th century. But it was written in the 12th century. So they're basing their information off of a lot of hearsay stories. So,
yeah, secondhand accounts. And
yeah,
exactly. Pretty well, quadruple hand accounts. Exactly. All the people secondhand are dead.
So when I'm telling you these stories, I would love to think that they're all true and they all actually happened, because it's fucking badass. There is a chance that some of the things didn't quite happen the way they're portrayed. So, you know, sit back and have fun with it, because it's going to get something. Now, anyway, in 912, Oleg was killed in a very facepalm situation. This is one of those where you just go, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. If you believe the story, and this does sound like a made up, like a tall tale type thing, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
He's making toast in the bath.
Apparently, there was a prophecy that he would face his death blow on his horse. A magician told him, quote, "It is from the steed which you love and on which you ride that you shall meet your death." So what do you do? What would you do, Dan? A magician comes to you and say, one day when you are riding that horse, one day when you are on that horse, you will die.
You'd imagine he would not go on the horse.
Don't ride the fucking horse.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's like if somebody, like it was one of those situations where, well, if I knew how I'd die, I'd know how to avoid it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, if you're in a car crash. Go to this exact location on this exact date, this exact time, you will survive. Well, no, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta go see what that shit's about. Like,
you just show up. So I think that's probably what most people would do. So Oleg decides that the horse should be taken away, properly cared for, because he does love this horse. Taken away and properly cared for. But Oleg would never again see or ride it.
Mm-hmm.
Several years later, Oleg questions about the well-being of the horse, and his squire told him that the horse died long ago. So Oleg said, quote, "Soothsayers tell untruths, and their words are naught but falsehood. The horse is dead, but I am still alive." And he gave it a little chuckle. Then he demanded to see the bones of the horse. No, when they got to where the horse...
when they got to where... Something fierce.
When they got to where the horse was laid to rest, he laughed and said, quote, "So I was supposed to receive my death from this skull," and stomped his foot on the horse's skull. Just then, a snake crawled out and bit him. He got sick and died.
Fucking idiot.
It's a very, like, Final Destination way of going.
Yeah.
But that's how the story goes. I believe it if you want. I think it's funny. So I'll believe it. That's fine.
I hope it's true. You know.
But anyway, after Oleg's death, Igor took control. And almost immediately, the Drevelians decided they no longer had to pay tribute and stopped. So in 914, Igor attacked the Drevelians, conquering them and imposing an even larger tribute onto the tribe. Didn't say what the tribute was, but I imagine it was maybe 2 Black Marten skins per household. I don't fucking know.
And a Taylor Swift CD.
A Taylor Swift CD. He bumped it up from
that was Martin the real torture. To that's Swift. Why this is called torture, people.
Now, over the next 30 years or so, Igor would wage wars, talk peace, sign treaties with Christians, Greeks, various others. You know, ruler shit, which is fun.
Yeah, doing his job.
Yeah, that's what you do. And including in 943, having a son, Svetoslav, with his wife, Olga. And if they married in 903, it's 943 and they're having their first child.
He's been busy.
Yeah.
I mean, kinging it still, up.
Well, one of the things is, as prince or king is you're supposed to knock up your wife almost immediately so you can start producing heirs. And I guess they just waited. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't in the mood for 40 years.
Yeah, or you never know. Maybe he batted for your team and couldn't.
That's pie. That's a possibility. That is a distinct possibility. And I get that this is her episode. It is the Wrath of St. Olga, and we're just now like kind of talking about her. But I promise I'm going to get to her. Got to get to her little history.
Sorry, people. Yeah, she didn't exactly write a fucking autobiography for Kevin to go back and reference her previous life before now. She didn't come into the picture until all this shit happened with the kings and stuff. Yeah. Oscar and Olga and Igor and all that.
Oscar and Olga and Timothy, whatever his fucking name was.
Yeah, that guy, stupid horse snake guy.
Okay, and now in 945, after signing a peace treaty with the Greeks, Igor decided that the Drevilians should pay a bigger tribute. So his retinue, which is a word that gets used a lot in the Primary Chronicle, and I had never heard it before, but pretty much all a retinue is advisors, assistants, kind of like his posse, his group of guys. You know, they're always around his yes men.
Yeah.
But they came to him and said, quote, "The servants of Svinald are adorned with weapons and fine remnant, but we are naked. Go forth with us, O prince, after tribute, that both you and we may profit thereby." Now, Svinald was a Varangian warlord that collected tribute from the Drevilians for himself. So Igor took his retinue and his army and attacked Dereva, the land of the Drevilians, in order to get a bigger tribute. They collected, loaded up their carts, and headed back to Kiev. And that's where it should have ended.
Because that's where we're going to pick up next week's episode.
That's where this should have been done. Go home with your tribute, spend time with your wife and young son, expand your kingdom, do whatever. Leave these people alone. For some reason, either pettiness or ego, or whatever, Igor decided that the Drevilians could pay more. So, on his way home, he tells his army, quote, "Go forward with the tribute. I shall turn back and rejoin you later." Then he takes a small number of his little posse back with him to Dereva. Any idea where this is headed?
Yeah, him and his little Power Ranger buddies think they're going to go and fucking karate chop some motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's going to be many of it snakes and many of skulls waiting for them, I assume.
So the Drevilians heard that he was coming back and went to their own prince, Mal, saying, quote, "If a wolf come..." Mal. All I could think of was Firefly. Every time I saw Prince Mal.
Mal?
Mal. M-A-L.
M-A-L. I was in Mal. But Mal. Yeah. I just think of Darth Mal immediately. So as soon as the prince comes back, he walks in and your man's like...
Why did you paint your face all weird? What's going on? Cuts him in half.
So why is that music playing?
They said, quote, "If a wolf come among the sheep, he will take away the whole flock one by one, unless he be killed. If we do not thus kill him now, he will destroy us all." So they met Igor on his way and asked what he wanted, and he just ignored them and just kept heading to the capital of Iskorostan, now modern-day Korostan, Ukraine. So they're like, "Dude, what do you want?" And he's like, "Talk to the fucking hand, because the face ain't listening." He just kept going.
Dick.
But now, since he doesn't have an army with him, the Drevelians decided, fuck this shit, and they attacked. It's like they're French. Kill the king! Yeah. Now, it's not clear what happened to his retinue, but as far as Igor goes, the story is as such. And again, many people will say, well, that's not really how it happened. But this is the most fun way to think about it, so this is the way we're going to go.
I've seen the video on YouTube, but this actually...
Did you?
Google it. Yeah, yeah, just Google it. Yeah, Ukrainian street fight, and you'll come across it quickly enough. Yeah.
Oh. Now, and just to preface this also, Igor kind of has this coming. I mean...
Fucking damn right he does.
Take your fucking tribute and go home. You don't need to turn around and be a prick about it. I get it. Yeah. They didn't want to pay you tribute in the first place. You got it. Be gracious in losing and winning. But anyway, they capture the prince and take him to the forest and pull down the tops of two small birch trees. And they tie them to the ground. Then they tie one leg to each tree and then cut the ropes holding the trees down. When the trees spring back up, they rip Igor in half.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's really, I mean, it's that's
fucking smart.
It's gruesome as shit. Yeah. Now, is that how it really happened? Who knows, but it's fun to think about.
He cut the rope and he's just still sitting there and he's like, fuck's going to happen? And everybody's like, quickly, stab him. If anybody asks, he's cut him in half, okay?
Yeah, it just springs up and then it stops. And he's like, oh, that kind of hurt a little bit. Well, what do we do now? And then they just slit his throat and be like, tell everyone it worked perfectly. But we will never do it again. It's just a fun way to think about it. And why is it fun to think about? Because it happened like 1900 years ago. It's fine. Now, meanwhile, Olga was in Kiev with their son Svatoslav, awaiting her husband's return. But when the soldiers came home and no Igor, she knew something was up. Now, the Drevelians had a plan. They had killed the ruler of the empire, but nobody else knew about it. No one knew that the throne now sit empty. So they hatched a little plan. Go tell Olga that Igor was dead and that they were the ones who killed him for what they saw was an unfair amount of tribute needing to be paid. Convince her to marry Prince Mal, get Svatoslav under their thumb at an early age, and rule the Kievan Rus state the way they saw fit. Quote, we have killed the Prince of Rus. Let us take his wife Olga for our Prince Mal, and then we shall obtain possession of Svatoslav and work our will upon him. Which isn't a horrible idea. I mean...
No, the other option is you do fucking nothing. Hide all that shit and go back to your day and be like, well, he never showed up. You know, but she didn't.
Well, though. but so the whole army really, came back. The whole army came back with the tribute, so they would
say... No, I mean, like, if they say, oh, yeah, he turned around and went there, but if they went down and quit and said, oh, yeah, guys, technically, back. They're not lying. He never came. He never returned to us.
He never got to us.
Oh. So...
There's a
you might find a bit of him over there.
I heard they did it. Go attack them. You know, the Drevelians have a feud with like the another local high school or something.
Yeah,
go burn down their football field. So the Drevelians sent 20 of their quote best men, mostly dignitaries, ambassadors, advisors, no real soldiers, save a few, to Kiev by boat. You know, Olga heard that they were coming and had her own men sent down to the river to invite them to come see her with a, quote, gracious welcome. And when they got there, she asked them what they wanted, and they informed her that they had killed her husband because, well, he was like a wolf, crafty and ravening, and that since their prince had preserved the land of Deriva and was a good man, that Olga should go to Deriva and marry Prince Mal. Now, some say Olga thought of everything that happened next at the moment of hearing this. I personally think she had been thinking about what to do for a little while. You know, there's a good chance she already knew, or at least had a good idea, that her husband was dead before the Drevilians got there because Igor's party came back, tribute. Igor and his retinue never did. But,
yeah,
you know, exactly. Whatever you want. Yeah. So Olga
Igor
tells
and the Hardy boys got fucked up.
So Olga tells the group, quote, "Your proposal is pleasing to me. Indeed, my husband cannot rise again from the dead. But I desire to honor you tomorrow in the presence of my people. Return now to your boat and remain there with the aspect of arrogance. I shall send for you in the morrow, and you shall say, 'We will not ride on horses nor go on foot. Carry us in our boat, and you shall be carried in your boat.'" And she sent them back. Once they left, Olga had her men get to work. Next day, while Olga sat in the castle hall, she sent her messenger to collect the Drevilians, and they did exactly what she told them to. They told the messenger that they would not ride on horseback or wagon or on foot, but they were to be carried in their boat. So the residents of Kiev, probably playing along, they probably knew what was going to happen, told them...
I was going to say, I had this mental image just there when you're saying about her men got to work, and I had this thing, have you ever watched Commando? With Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's a bit when he's prepping and it has like the steel drums going ding, ding, ding thing going on. He's like chopping down shit and doing all sorts of stuff. So I just have that in my head now. Them getting ready to really fuck some shit up the next day with steel drums going on in the background.
It's any 80s montage.
Yeah.
To prepare for an attack.
Even Olga gets a montage. Montage.
Or if you're not from the, or if you weren't alive in the 80s, think of the newest Rebel Moon, and they're preparing.
Yeah.
Put bombs underground.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a rip off of fucking The Wolves of Calla.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
It's as soon as I saw it, so this is The Wolves of Calla, man. It's like fuck.
But this fucking microphone, I keep hitting it, and it's driving me crazy.
All right, I'll return the favor. There you go. See it
now. Now, fuck where I live. Oh, yeah. So the residents of Kiev, probably playing along, told them, quote, "Slavery is our lot. Our prince is killed, and our princess intends to marry their prince." And so they carried the men in their boat, while the men sat there in great robes, puffed with pride, into the court before Olga. Then they dropped them. So the day before, after the group had returned to the boat, Olga had instructed her men to begin digging. Specifically, digging a large trench big enough and deep enough to bury a Drevilian boat along with all its inhabitants.
Nice.
So, when Olga's men dropped the boat, it was into this rather large trench inside the hall of a castle just outside the city. Olga then bent down and asked the men in the boat whether they found the honor to their taste. They tried to stop her by saying that this punishment was worse than what they did to Igor. Then Olga told her men to bury them alive.
Cold-blooded. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Ben. Oh, it gets better.
I was expecting to get shit on them first, being honest with you. It's like, just bury them alive, but leave little holes above them so everybody can go poop down there. Here's our new public toilet, everybody.
It gets better. I was writing this out, and I was like, I wonder what Natalia would think of this, our daughter. And my wife goes, I don't know, hold on. And she calls for her to come downstairs. She's like, what? I was like, have you ever heard of St. Olga? She's like, no. I was like, sit down. I got a story to tell you. So she sits down, crisscross applesauce right in front of me, and I tell her the whole story. And by the end of it, she's like, I want to be like Olga. I was like, yeah, you do. So if you have daughters, you can clean it up if you want. Tell your daughters the story of inspiration and tell your sons the story as warning.
Yeah.
Be careful what woman you fuck with. Some of them are, well, like Dan said, cold-blooded.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
It's kind of hard to decide who the villain is. I get why she did this, kind of, revenge, vengeance for her husband. And even maybe what she does next, I kind of get. So on one hand, the Drevelyans kill Igor in a very gruesome way, and then they have the audacity to ask the widow for her hand in marriage, and then said widow decides to get her own form of justice for her husband. And
yeah, son, I get it, though. Yeah,
father.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people lost their prince.
Yeah, look, it all kicked off with your man being a dick and going back. Like, yeah. Like you said, he didn't need to fucking flog that horse. You know, trying to think. You know, he didn't need to do it. So
exactly. Yeah.
So he deserved what he got.
But he's almost the manner, picking on these people.
Yeah, you know? But the manner in which these guys approached the entire thing thereafter, they kind of deserve what they got. You don't go back to the man's wife and be like, hey, babe, so killed your husband. No other man's going to have you now, honey. Not about me, huh?
It's like a Wild West movie.
Yeah, going out, getting there with that Riz, as the kids call it nowadays.
Yeah, so I mean...
Or Raz,
you,
whatever it
you
is.
Through this, everybody, I am through the whole thing. I'm pretty much on Olga's side. She might go a little too far at the end, but I guess this was just the time period, and war is war. You know, it is what it is.
Somebody told her to calm down, and that was it.
Yeah. So you decide for yourself who you feel the villain in all this is.
The real villain is
maybe
democracy.
The Drevelyans get a little greedy when they decide to take advantage of the situation, but you know, whatever.
That's it. Yeah, maybe they were a bit kind of bloodlusty or whatever after that. After they just did that, they just killed the fucking king, basically the ruler of the whole place, and say they were feeling like the biggest dicks in the playground. And they were
You
know what? Let's go do this.
Yeah, but then they have knowledge. They have knowledge nobody else has. Nobody else knows that the prince is dead.
Yeah,
only
so
them.
Keep that shit quiet then, like I said.
Well, I think they wanted to take advantage of the situation as soon as they could to get their prince in. Because for decades, they were just a tribe who paid tribute. And now if they get their prince to be, you know, ruler of the Roost, they wouldn't have to do that anymore. They would they would collect tribute from other people. But this will lead to the princess... going not for just justice, but a revenge on a scale that hasn't really been seen since the biblical times. But, you know.
Hasn't been seen since Game of Thrones, that bit in the church of Cersei.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Yeah. Dragon's fire and fucking... Yeah.
She exploded all those cans of monster.
Uh-huh. So, the men are buried alive in their boat, and Olga says, why stop now? So she sends a message to the Drevelyans that if they really require her presence, they should send after her their most distinguished men so that she might go to their prince with honor. Otherwise, the people of Kiev wouldn't let her go. You just have some guy showing up, be like, hey, come marry your prince, and you wander off. No, it's got to be the top tier guys coming to get her. And once they got this message, they gathered the men that governed Jareva and sent them to the princess. Now, when
without they, knowing what,
yeah, they had no idea what they were walking into. When they got there, she commanded that a bath should be made ready and invited them to appear before her after they bathed. Can't proposition the princess when you're all dirty from traveling. It's only proper. Yeah. You know, this was, we told our daughter that. She's like, why did they bathe together? Is it because this was the 9th century and that's what you fucking did?
Yeah.
Bathing wasn't just a thing you did in your home. It was a group event. It was a, you know, you socialized as you bathed. It was
like Turkish baths and the Greek baths.
It was a thing that you went to do. I'm going to go take a bath instead of just taking a fucking bath.
Bathhouses or whatever. But it's not like, they had their own little private fucking power showers. Like, I mean, they're all queuing up in the castle.
Indoor players.
Like, hurry up.
Banging on the door. You done? Yeah, take a shit. Yeah. Olga's men heated the bathhouse, and the, quote, distinguished men from Jareva went inside to bathe. Then, on orders from Olga, the soldiers locked up the bathhouse with the men inside and set the doors on fire.
Nice.
Killing every last one.
It's like, it's hot in here, is it just me?
They come for a bath. They really got the sauna going in here.
Does anybody want me to turn on the bubbles?
there you go. But Olga was far from done. She then sends another message to the Drevelians. Quote, I am now coming to you. So prepare great quantities of mead in the city where you killed my husband, that I may weep over his grave and hold a funeral feast for him. Remember, the Scythians of Jareva have no idea what was going on. Two separate groups of men have gone to Kiev and no one has returned, and they didn't know why. But when the princess of the Kievan Rus state says, make me mead, you make her mead.
Yeah, I'm straight.
So they gathered honey to brew mead.
So now, you're sitting there in the castle every time when the people come in, when the yokes come in and say, kill my husband, that's paddling. To make me mead, that's paddling.
That's paddling. That's paddling.
That's paddling.
Now you would think that if revenge is on her mind, that she might take the entirety of the state's army. But that would send up some red flags. So she only took a, quote, small escort to Jareva. She went to Igor's tomb near the capital of Iskorostan. And like she had said, she wept for her slain husband. She was asked where the groups were that were sent to Kiev, and she told them that they were following with Igor's bodyguards. They're back there. They're on their way. We're just ahead of them. They'll be here literally any minute. Don't worry. They're being carried in their boat. I don't know. Yeah. They're back there. See them? See, look real hard. See that dot? Yeah, they're behind that. They're on their way.
This guy in the background going like this. This is what I realized.
Then she told her men that they were to have a funeral feast and her men were to serve the Drevelians, possibly as an act of good faith toward her new husband-to-be's people. At this feast, the mead is flowing heavily and the Drevelians are getting proper drunk, like really fucking wasted. But Olga and her men are drinking very little, if at all. Once the Drevelians were as sloshed as a redneck at a wedding reception, Olga gave the order. Her men started cutting down drunk Trevelyans left and right. And she didn't just like sit back and watch it. She egged them on, praising their killings, asking for more bloodshed, to leave no one alive. And by the end of it, Olga's relatively small group of soldiers killed 5,000 Trevelyans.
Yeah, it's very screaming Cersei at me. Yeah. So it is.
Then they quickly saddled up and hightailed it back to Kiev. Now, obviously, she wouldn't be able to play any more games with the Trevelyan people. So instead, she readied her army for war. In 946 AD, Olga, along with her young son Svetislav,
just before
and
lunchtime.
Their army... Huh?
That is just before lunchtime.
Yeah.
946 AD.
They proceeded to attack the land of Deriva.
They stabbing quickly... the ground with swords. Take that land! Fuck you! Right in the border.
Which ruler was it that attacked the ocean?
Oh, man.
Which one was it?
Shouts a cloud.
Attacking the ocean. Was it Nero? Was it Caligula?
I think it might have been Caligula.
I think it was Caligula.
Who attacks the ocean? Why do you want to open? Who attacked the ocean? No, not turtles. Yeah, Caligula.
Caligula? Yeah. I think his brain was all syphilitic by that time. But, whatever.
Fucking hilarious. How about you?
They went to the forest, started chopping down all the birch trees because that's how her husband killed. They took control of the villages and small towns, chasing citizens into the larger cities of the area. Then they went for the killing blow. They went back to Escoriston to lay siege. But the Trevelyans barricaded themselves within the city and were said to have fought valiantly from it. That's a common misconception, thanks to movies and TVs, that sieges of castles or cities were army shows up, there's a battle, one side wins, the other side loses. Sieges could take months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A war of attrition.
Usually the attacking force trying to wait out the food and water supplies of the castle or city until they either surrendered or were too weak to fight back and were killed.
Yep.
Well, this siege of Escoriston lasted for an entire year. Battles fought throughout this time, but Olga's army never being able to overtake the city. So Olga decided enough was enough. She sent a message to the people of Escoriston. By now, you should know not to trust any message coming from Olga, but they were hungry.
Everyone ends with a winky face. I'm gonna kill you.
They were hungry and tired, maybe a little naive, who knows. But we got a message from Olga, and there's somebody in the back going, no, there's nothing inside. You shouldn't do anything. There's one old crippled guy. Old guy's all hunched over. I'm telling you, I saw this back in the day. Don't like, shut up, old man. Old man's going to get the final word.
Just says, why can't we be friends? That's all it says.
The message said, quote, why do you persist on holding out? All your cities have surrendered to me and submitted to tribute, so that the inhabitants now cultivate their fields and their lands in peace. But you would rather die of hunger without submitting to tribute? The Trevelyans told her that they would love nothing more than to surrender and be done with all of it. But they feared what she would do if they did. I mean, remember, people were buried alive, burned to death, murdered at a feast. Who knows what this woman's capable of? They're like, she's like, just surrender. What the fuck are you going to do this time?
So she tells them, I won't do anything to you. Wink.
Wink, wink. I won't do it. Turns around to one of her soldiers. Nudge, nudge. You like photographs? You take photographs of your wife? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's like that was at the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud again.
So she told them, quote, since I have already avenged the misfortune of my husband twice on the occasions when your messengers came to Kiev, and a third time when I held a funeral feast for him. I do not desire further revenge, but I am anxious to receive a small tribute. After I had made peace with you, I shall return home again. She's like, I don't desire revenge. Come on, guys. Who do you think I am? She's like giving those little slaps on the shoulder. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
But one hand, the other hand holding a big bloody sword behind her, just waiting.
Then she told them to gather her 3 pigeons and 3 sparrows from each house. Now, it doesn't say how many homes or people were there, but this is the capital of the area. So you can imagine that there's probably, it's probably a pretty good size, you know, city. Then they were to give her the birds and return to their homes. Once she received all the tributes, she would return home. The people did as they were told, and then they rejoiced. They came, gave her all these birds, and they're like, fuck yeah, she's leaving. We're going to be good now. Obviously not learning from history. We did exactly what she said to do. What possibly could happen?
All the birds explode.
I'm not going to tell you how close you are to being right.
To turn one of the birds over to hear it ticking. To turn it over and it's just like this little clock. Like a cartoon
what is
bomb
that stick
stuck
carrying?
To the bottom.
So here's the thing that many don't know. I didn't know this. Back in this time, people would often have what was called a dovecot build into the end of their house or barn to give homes to pigeons or doves. But these were important food sources. They were kept for their eggs and for their dung. Now, when I saw this, I had to look up exactly what they used the bird shit for, thinking it was probably fuel or manure for plants.
Put it in their coffee or something.
Well.
Wow.
Dan, you should host the show because you keep getting real close. So my wife even thought maybe they used it as like makeup or something, which kind of sounds gross, but you know, maybe they mix it in with it or I don't know.
They're all walking around with like pink eye and stuff. They're like, wondering about any of my shadows.
Look how pink her eyes are. She must have got a new pigeon. What I wasn't expecting was to find that it was also used, hopefully only sparsely, as a salt substitute.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read. It was a possibility that it was used as a salt substitute, which sounds god awful.
You wouldn't take any other animal's shit and think, oh yeah, I better put this on my sandwich. It's missing a little something something. You know, like, what did they, did they take their time, right, to test and go through multiple different types of shit and feces and excrement and everything to eventually turn around and be like, bird poop.
But you have to remember, Dan, that we are a species that also looked at the oyster and opened it up and thought, hey, I wonder what that snot tastes like. And we saw milk coming out of cows.
Well, that one, to be fair, we have milk coming out of breasts, so we know it's
true.
Nature's theme, Bob. But, like, they know where that came from. They know what it is.
They do.
You wouldn't, like, would you take a shit and be like, I'm going to put that into my pot of stew here now to try and elevate it a little bit? You know, it's... Yeah, you wouldn't do that.
What probably, so what I'm thinking about now, and it reminds me of my wife's 2 oldest sons. You remember, you know the Jelly Belly Bean Boozled jelly beans? The ones, some of them taste really good, some of them taste horrible.
Yeah,
we
like
bought
the
some of those.
Ones and the rotten eggs.
Yeah, we had some of those, and me and my wife tried them, and they were disgusting. But we're like, oh, you'd be great, let's get the kids. And this was back when they were like 8 or 9. And my wife never let them have candy. Like, if they got candy, it was like Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day. That's it. They never got candy. So when my wife gives them a little thing of jelly beans, They just start fucking inhaling. Yeah. Yes. And we're, and I was like, do any of them taste bad? I was like, do any of them taste bad? They go, no, they're great. They ate every single one, didn't complain about a one of them because they never got candy and they thought it was delicious. That's all I could think about is more than likely, like, Eve played a joke on Adam. She's like, ooh, I made him dinner and I'll scrape some of this bird shit, put it on there. Yeah, and I think it's disgusting. And he ate it and he's like, this is so salty. It's delicious. So then they just started eating it. It's like, so salty.
So you know what it is? It's like that. I think every couple, there is a meal that one each of each other make that the other one doesn't actually like.
Yeah.
And yet you always say, yes, dude,
it's so good. This is so good. I think I'm going to spit it into this napkin and save it for later.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say that's where it originated from. And some woman going, I put his bird poop into a sandwich. And he said it was the greatest sandwich ever. Like, no, you did not. Oh, my God. I must try that now. And then they went on and then they just kept going on like that. All the men and women were like talking about this bird shit sandwich as if it was the greatest thing ever. And nobody would own up to the fact.
Nobody that it was bird shit
in a fucking sandwich.
Nobody actually likes it. They just say that they like it.
Yeah. It's like fake pumpkin butter. Nobody likes that shit. You shouldn't like that
shit. It's the pumpkin spice of the middle age, of the ancient times.
Yeah. I always say those funny things about pumpkin spice come that one specific time of year. And yeah. I remember when I was over there around Thanksgiving, and there's that crowd. I really like their beer though, but as a Dogfish Head crowd, and they do that pumpkin spice beer, right? Yeah. And I was like, heard like amazing reviews about this and that, and yada yada yada. And it was this seasonal thing, they only do then, and super hard to get your hands on, and all this load of shit. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, then we're staying in this little hotel off the arsehole of nowhere. And what did he have in the place right across the road from it? Only boxes of this. So we're like, okay, let's go. It was shit. It was, yeah. Fucking bad.
Pumpkin spice is great for pies, and that's for me like is it. About it.
Yeah.
I love pumpkin pie, but I'm not a big pumpkin spice. And it's just Starbucks in general. If we would talk about Starbucks is another one of those where nobody actually likes it, but everybody says they do because it's the trendy thing. Starbucks is so the bad. Worst fucking coffee. It's so bad. It's all burnt. It's nasty.
It's not even burnt. It's super weak here. Like it tastes like milky water here. Like
it's kind of what it tastes like over here too.
Terrible. Yeah, and like, there's no taste to it whatsoever.
Their breakfast sandwiches are delicious. I'll get food from there, but their fucking coffee is.
I know because it's too fucking expensive for what it is. Like you get a sandwich with a little piece of cheese and a little piece of ham, and that costs. Like, let's say, all of 5 fucking cents to make. Yeah. And they charge something stupid, like 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. For
it. Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah. So I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You're okay.
I go to Panera before I go to Starbucks. But
go to where?
Anyway, Panera.
Never been.
I doubt they have any over there. Yeah. Chai tea latte is fucking amazing. My God. And they have the best bagels. The bagels are so fucking good.
Is that the people that make the bread?
Yeah, it used to be St. Louis Bread Co., and they changed it. Here in where I'm from, it's still known as Bread Co., St. Louis Bread Co. But everywhere else, it's Panera. It's
Panera Bread. All right.
Yeah.
I've seen it in something. I think it was on like Chuck or something like that. I've seen it. I've never seen it before.
So fucking good, man. They have the best bagels. Oh, the cinnamon crunch bagel. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes, please.
Anyway, bird dung is a salt substitute. There we go. Now we're back to it. Anyway, pigeons and doves, almost interchangeable, had like bird little dung houses. Is
a salt substitute. Hold on. Let's talk about this for a minute.
So they had little houses built onto the homes of many of these citizens. And sparrows commonly build their nests in the eaves of houses. Here's the kicker. Most of these homes that these birds nest in, usually wooden with thatched roofs. So Olga takes all these birds and starts handing them out to every soldier in her army. And at nightfall, she had them tie a piece of cloth with a piece of sulfur wrapped inside onto the legs of each bird, then released the birds, and they flew back to their homes. Now, it doesn't say if they lit the sulfur beforehand or not, but I doubt they would just spontaneously ignite. Anyway, they released these burning birds to fly back to their nests built into these homes and businesses of the city, and the entire city was set ablaze. Can you imagine just looking, it's nightfall, you're just rejoicing, having a good time. She's leaving. Yeah. And you look up and you go like,
it was a light show. On fire. Look at all those drones.
It's just, before it starts off with just one bird. And you're like, well, that's weird. And then like two or three more come over. Oh, well, and then just a mass of flaming birds coming over the city walls.
I just got this image in my head, like D&D party, and the artificer is like to the GM, and like, so had this idea, right? And it's like, and the GM's just like, look, man, if you can catch the birds, you can light the birds.
You can do whatever
I'm
you
cool
want
with that. You know, it's like, cool.
Well, but then he gets the mage to do some type of spell where birds are attracted to him, and he just starts catching all of them.
They get the druid, man. That's it. Easy squeezy lemons.
There you go.
Get them there to sing a Disney song. Don't. That's a Disney princess should be a D&D class.
Yeah.
That'd be a fucking brilliant class.
Yeah. So you got all these birds flying over. You know that one old man that tried to warn him. He's like, I told you. So the people then fled from the city. And the soldiers captured and killed the citizens as they ran. They just running out of the gates, and the soldiers are just like, nope, dead. Poke, poke, poke. Taking a tally.
But like that scene wasn't in Lord of the Rings at the start when they're showing how the whole thing was with Sauron, and it's the elves, and they do that funky thing with their long swords, the fucking, to twirl them around, and they're just doing that as they're running out.
Now,
slice them all up.
Many others were captured and given as slaves to her followers, and the ones that survived the fire and didn't run were left to pay tribute. After touring Deriva, she set up laws and tributes, trading posts, and hunting preserves. So that's
and a bird sanctuary.
And a bird sanctuary. With a sincere apology. I apologize to all the sparrows.
No birds were hurt in the making of this episode of torture.
Every bird was hurt making
we did not
the only one I want
the
them
birds.
To hurt is this fucking cardinal that won't quit knocking on the goddamn window.
Well, you already know now, get yourself a rag and a bit of sulfur and apparently it spontaneously combusts. You just grab him and fucking throw him.
I just think about being the bird. It's like, give me a little present on my leg. Look at the holy fuck.
Well, if you take that little present left on your leg and spread it on your sandwich, it's gonna taste pretty damn good.
They're just shitting everywhere because they're so scared as they fly over the people and they're like, why are they dropping salt onto us? It's like the Jim
Carrey. My sulfur levels are low.
What's the deal with all the salt and burning birds?
What's the deal with all the salt?
Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. Anyway. Now, this part isn't torture related, but it continues to tell how badass this woman was. So sometime between 948 and 955, Olga, still technically in charge of the Kievan Rus state, went to Greece to meet with the Emperor Constantine. Not the Constantine, not Constantine the Great, Constantine
Keanu
the
Reeves
seventh.
Constantine is who she went to meet. Sitting there in a slick-ass suit, just waiting.
Waiting for the devil?
Yeah.
Yeah, Olga
but
went to him,
appeared.
And he saw that she was beautiful and smart, and he asked her to marry him. And she explained, now you know what happens to guys who propose to her. We've already seen that. But she doesn't go that far with this one. She explained that they couldn't marry because she was a pagan, and he was a Christian, and it went against his religion. And if he wanted them to marry, he would need to teach her about Christ and baptize her, which was kind of the whole reason she went there. Anyway, she had heard about Christianity. She wanted to get into it. She wanted to get away from paganism. So she kind of goes to the Byzantine Empire to find Christianity in the first place. She's going to use their emperor kind of to get the way she wants, what she wants, because back then you couldn't just join Christianity. You were seen to have to be baptized into it. You have to learn the Bible. In order for that to happen, you have to be sponsored by someone.
Right.
Someone of, you know, notoriety. You couldn't just have some, you know, some douche be like, oh, yeah, I sponsor you. It has to be someone who matters.
Who just sponsored.
Who would matter more? Who would matter more than the emperor of the Byzantine Empire, really? So she tells him, yeah, we can't get married. You're Christian, I'm pagan. You'd have to convert me to Christianity. And he agrees. So she's taught the way of Christ, and she's baptized. Now, since Constantine was the one that sponsored her baptism, he also started calling her his daughter because of the affection he had for her, he was essentially her godfather. After her baptism, he came to her again with a marriage proposal, but smarty as she is, told him, we couldn't marry. It would go against Christian law. You can't marry your goddaughter. What's wrong with you? You have to think that anyone else that would do this would have been killed or imprisoned. But apparently, if this really happened, he was pleased by her intelligence and gave her gifts of gold, silver, silks, and various vases.
She has her intelligence. She's like, you can't do this to me.
And he dismissed her, still calling her his daughter. She was now christened Helena after the ancient empress and the mother of Constantine the Great. And she would go on to try and establish Christianity through the Kievan Rus state, ruling over it until 960 AD, while her son fought battles across the land. She died 969 after a long battle with illness, never seeing Christianity spread across the state. Her grandson, Vladimir, however, would adopt it in 988, which would lead to both of them being canonized, probably around 1280. She is the patron saint of widows and converts. Her feast day is July 11th. And that...
Oh, so we're a few days behind.
Yeah, that is the story of Saint Olga of Kiev.
Sweet.
Doesn't really tell a whole lot about her reign. It mostly just gives you the bullet points of the cool things that happen, which I'm fine with.
Can you imagine some guy sitting there and like watching the kind of abridged version of everything and watching her just kick ass and just be like, Pope's just like, you just won the sainthood, guys. You know, well, patron saint of doors is already taken. So patron saint of boats is taken. So we haven't got revenge. Well, we have that queued up for one Mr. Wick, but he ain't alive yet.
Patriot State of Ovens is taken, apparently. Some guy built a bull, I don't know. But
that's Fisher Price. They're the Patriot Saint of Ovens.
Once I learned about this woman, I was like, I gotta tell this story. So whether you think it's torture or not, it's still... she was pretty cruel to these people, and it's a good story. I enjoyed the story. So
it's kind of like the opposite of, well, not the opposite. It's kind of like Kill Bill ish, but not trying to get to the husband. You know what I mean? It's just that constant thing of going after motherfuckers. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I like
it. She's pretty cool.
So hopefully, y'all did too. If not, well, what are you doing? You can find us on Instagram, TikTok at TorturePod. You can email us, torturepod@gmail.com. You can see us sometimes when recording allows on YouTube, youtube.com/torturepod. Rate and review wherever you can. Apple, Good Pods, Podchaser. I believe they're letting people review specific episodes on Spotify now.
Oh, yeah.
Or soon. Yeah. Cool. Also, going to start adding our videos to Spotify. Apparently that's a thing that I just found out you could do.
Like, can you put it in the background of the thing? Well, like, apparently music videos come up?
Well, you know, you're like, where you're watching, you're listening to Spotify and it'll come up so there's a video for it. You can watch the video. Apparently you can do the same thing with podcasts now on there.
Cool.
So yeah, we'll get that going. Thank you to our patrons, Willow, Quinn Fowler, Nevin, and Sam Breers. They told me that I pronounced their name wrong, and instead of telling me how to pronounce it, I'm just going to guess until I get it right. So,
how do you say it spelled?
Last time I called it Breers, so this time I'm saying Breers, maybe?
Breers.
It's probably like Jones. It's just spelled weird. But
how did you say you spelled it again?
B-R-E-A-R-S. It's like Bears.
Brears.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was Brer, but apparently it's not. Breer. I'm going to say Breers. Breers.
Yeah. That's mad. Anyway. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Email us, torchpod@gmail.com. Let us know how to pronounce this name.
Yeah.
Just get a million different emails about different ways of pronouncing the name.
I'm after Googling it, so I'll find out in a minute.
Go ahead.
It's Breers, apparently. Recorded. But say, you pronounce it differently. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't pronounce my surname the way an awful lot of people pronounce it, so.
Yeah. Oh, well. You can get your name shouted out on the pod by going to patreon.com/torturepod and signing up for one of our tiers. We have four. And you can sign up for
You can sign up for one free month of Only Dan's, and we'll get you exclusive photos of side foot. It is the new version of side boob, but it is foot related. So,
free month, really, man. That's
killer arches, man. I'm telling you right now. Oh, yeah.
You can sign up for a free one week trial of our cult leader tier. The free trial doesn't get your name shouted out.
Or a cup.
Sorry.
Or the cup.
Or the cup. No, well, that only comes with the Inquisitor tier. You have to be Inquisitor to get the mug. Oh. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Also, you can donate through our link tree on our socials. buymeacoffee.com/torturepod. Redbubble.com/people/torturepod for all the merch. We would like to see your designs on a Peach Torture merch. So send us some fan art. If we like it, we'll put it on a shirt. Hell, you know what? I'll even give one better. You send us a design. It's good enough. We put it on a shirt. We won't just put it on a shirt. We will buy one in your size. I'll sign it. I'll send it to Dan. He'll sign it. And then we'll send it to you for free.
Yep.
Get a free torture shirt with your own design on it. So there you go. And thank you to our sponsors for supporting us. You can support us also by supporting them, specifically beerstruggle.com, potup.com, if you're willing to, you know, do that type of stuff. If you have a beard, beerstruggle.com, fucking great.
I'm trying to write torture over the whiskey thing, and it's not really working. I was going to say, you get your pre-accused bottle of torture whiskey when you buy 17 bottles of torture whiskey.
Still working on something, so I don't have to name every single way to contact us or support us. So, you know, more information will come later. Hint for our next... Oh, Pop Dan, do you have any pop culture?
Look, this is a tale of revenge, right? Yeah. So you look at an awful lot of... an awful lot of things out there are revenge. The best one I can think of is Man on Fire. But this instead is
Birds on Fire.
Go down Olga on Fire. Or Birds on Fire, even. Yeah, that's even better. Birds on Fire, set by Olga. Yeah. Yep. There's 10 million things that in movies that are kind of along the lines of this. Again, there's no way in hell Cersei wasn't inspired in some way by Olga with the stuff she did.
I mean, you would think. You would think.
Yeah, but... Man, yeah, just Google revenge movies and stuff like that, and you're going to have stuff that's all very much in line with this. Like, The Unforgiven, that's a classic revenge story right there, where one person's just like, I ain't taking none of this shit no more. You know, stuff like that.
I would love to see a movie dedicated just to Olga. Just see how they play it out.
Yeah, well, I wonder. Actually, give me a second. I'll go down to her on. There's literature and stuff about. There's no. Yeah, there's no movies or documentaries or anything that's like inspired by her in that way, you know. Yeah, there's many things, references to her, like in a book called Saints Behaving Badly and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's a fucking great name for a book.
Didn't they used to sell videos back in the early 2000s? Saints Behaving Badly.
You say, yeah, there's a British TV show, is it Men Behaving Badly, I think was the name. But yeah, there's nothing inspired by, which I think it'd be pretty cool. Like, when Joan of fucking Arc got a fucking movie, why the hell can't Olga?
Yeah, and she didn't really do a whole lot anyway. Yeah,
Joan's a fucking idiot. But
she had a serial rapist murderer as her best friend.
Pinging coins off young kids' arses. You know. But no, alas, no, there isn't anything directly related to her. Like I said, you'd have to, you know.
You'll have to message Tay-Tay and tell her to write a song.
Yeah.
That's what she's into. She's into writing songs about, not revenge so much, but, you know, bad relationships.
I'm pretty sure we could take a Tay-Tay song and we could rewrite it to be about Olga.
Oh, I'm sure we could. I'm sure we could. That might be
one that she wrote about. Harry Styles to driving in my car one. I can't remember as he was playing everywhere for ages.
I have no idea.
All right, I have a bit of a tune that comes from my head at the moment for some reason. But yeah, that would do that.
Go out of my way not to listen.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Sadly, sometimes you can't escape it.
Hint for our next episode. From the Renaissance to the Hanoi Hilton to Abu Ghraib. If they tell you to put your hands behind your back, don't do it. So there you go. All right. Dan, any words of wisdom?
Yeah. My word of wisdom is a bit of a... Where's this gone now? Because I had it written down here. It's a bit of a... it's on a few different levels here, right? So my obvious unliking of religion... the fact we talk about religion in this here now today, and it's by an Irishman. So by the great Oscar Wilde.
Ah.
Religion is like a blind man looking in a black room for a black cat that isn't there and finding it.
Yes. That is one of his more famous quotes.
Yeah. Oscar.
Good old Oscar. And he is... Tried to have, almost had an affair with Bram Stoker's wife.
I'm sure he was probably trying to have an affair with Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker, to be fair. yeah, that whole dynamic between Bram Stoker and Oscar Wilde, that's kind of crazy. Of course, then Oscar Wilde goes to prison because he's gay and has to walk on a treadmill and dies of syphilis.
From eating too much bird shit.
Yep. Sandwiches. This salt substitute's great, but I don't think I can feel my legs anymore.
Yeah.
It's all the nitrates. All right. Well, that's all we got. So, hope you enjoyed it. If not, come back next time. We'll have something more tortury for you, I promise.
Well, look, take it for what it is. It's good fun.
Yeah.
Great story.
History of human cruelty. She was being cruel. It's history. God damn it. Fucking get over it. What a tell a fun story.
I like to hear stories about women kicking ass as well, though, so.
Fuck yeah.
It's good.
Fuck yeah. All right. Well, take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. See, I did say I put up Trustpilot review.
Yeah.
And it was because of the fact that I kind of nearly wouldn't want to do an ad like this without actually trying the things out. So both you and I have ordered numerous products. I have ordered, I think it's 3 of the bundles.
Yeah.
Got the beard growth bundle with the derma roller and the growth accelerator, which I will report back in on over time, because it takes weeks upon weeks, a couple of months, for it to properly take effect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not one of those things where you put it on and all. It's like a cartoon, you put it on and it just comes out.
Yeah, it's not the Moxanel. That's what it ain't. Like, you know, I wish it was. But I did get the shampoo conditioner bundle. I got two bundles of the oils also, where it has the elixir and the day tonic. So I got two different scents in that one of the silver tier. I think it was the Viking Storm. And I got Homer's Poem, the gold one.
Yeah, I haven't. That's the one I don't think I've tried yet. Amazing. I might get it next time I order. What's it smell like?
Like sex. I don't know. Like, it's really good. Like, no, like, Alison loves it. See, the thing is, it's got. Whenever I put on deers, I'm going through the Viking Storm one first. And she was like, ooh, the smell of that. And then the other day, because I wanted to test it out, what it was like, I threw on the night elixir for the Hohenir's Poem. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, that's way better. Like, and the price difference between them was only a couple of euros. So I'll be buying the gold tier one next time around again, I think. Because genuinely, it is way nicer. But I think they're great, though, because I always used another kind of brand and stuff. And it's worked out a good chunk cheaper, and it is way better quality. This stuff is so.
You know, you got to wait for it to be shipped to you, which can sometimes it's a lot quicker now than what it was before when they first started out. When I first got with them about 3 years ago, it took a long time to get the shipment in, and now it's a lot quicker. But for that little bit of time, you have no wash, you have no oil, and you go to the store and you get just the off the shelf stuff, and it's oil is oil, but honestly, there is such a difference between the stuff you're buying at the store for $10 and what you're getting at the Beard Struggle. That's why I keep going back to them.
Not 100%.
I love them. Yeah. I do. Even though I've tried others, be like, I'll give this a try, see if it's any good. But that's something you kind of have to do. If you're, to see how good the quality product is, you need to try something else. And every single time it's been, well, that's no good. Get more Beard Struggle.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am now as well. Yeah. And they have a sampler kit for each of their things. They have a bad sampler kit. And
It comes with their standard scents that are kind of always there. Yeah. And so if you don't know what you would like, which so far I have not found one that has not gone over well with the wife, which is really what matters.
Straight.
But if you don't know what scent you like, you get the sampler kit and you find out. You'll probably find out that you like all of them. And if you want to get that, use our exclusive discount code TORTURE19 at checkout. It's beardstruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.